Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
Welcome to MLB Extras, the Los Angeles Angels edition. Hello, everyone. I'm Allison Footer, and I'm here with Rhett Bollinger, who is just days away from reporting to his first Angel spring training camp. So, Rhett, let's talk about some of the news that's going on with the Angels recently. One of those things is, it seems that Albert Pujols is on track to be, I guess, healthy for the regular season. What do you think is going? What do you think his spring training is going to be like as he continues to rehab from his surgery last year?
Well, it'll be interesting because he is healthy. He has been taking batting practice and hitting without any issues at all. He obviously last August he had surgery on his knee. The good news was it was only arthroscopic, so it wasn't like it was a major surgery. So his off season, you know, spent a lot of time rehabbing with his strength coach. But the good news is now he's able to do a lot more drills and a lot more, you know, weight exercises with his knee. I think kind of going into spring training, I bet they'll take it a little bit slow early, you know, get him out on the field, let him hit and everything too. But I think my guess will kind of ease him into some of the workouts and kind of ease him into the early games in terms of the Cactus League. But for the most part, I think that at least by the end of spring training, he should be a full go, ready for, you know, opening day and all that. So I think early on, I think they'll probably be cautious with him just because he is coming off the surgery. He's 39 years old. But yeah, it's a big year for him. We've talked about it before, but, you know, Brad Ausmus said at the winter meetings that, you know, his lineups can be based on production. And we know last year, the last 2 years, really, Pujols' numbers really have dipped. So coming into last year, they kind of thought, okay, Pujols had a healthy offseason. He could maybe have a bounce back year. It did. Happen. So now the hope is it could happen again. It could be, you know, bounce back candidate. But at the same time, this year, coming off an injury, it's hard to really know what's going to happen with him. Obviously, the team also signed Justin Bour to be their kind of their primary first baseman. We know Shohei Ohtani is going to come back at some point during the season, likely early in the season. So Pujols kind of has a big year here. And I mean, still know, you know, he still has two more years after this one on his contract. So definitely a player to watch out for this year with the Angels because, you know, he has to produce to play. And it's going to be very interesting to see if he can finally kind of bounce back because these last 2 years offensively have definitely been down by anyone's standards, especially for someone who plays first base and serves as a DH.
Yeah, it's interesting because Pujols, obviously, I mean, we know he's not the player that he was. He's certainly not the player that they had envisioned when they signed him to that monster deal that takes him into the 40s. But being, yeah, he's probably working himself into more of a part-time role, which is probably not going to be okay with him from a mental standpoint, but actually might help him from a performance standpoint. And that's going to be, I think Brad Ausmus is one of his biggest tasks, is getting him on board with whatever schedule they think is best for him. You know, when you have a future Hall of Famer who is, and of course, Brad was with the Astros when Craig Biggio was going through the transformation of becoming a part-time player before he retired. I guess there's going to be a fine line and being able to handle that. It'll be interesting to see how Ausmus does handle that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a big part of that job for Ausmus is handling that because you said he's a future Hall of Famer. He's a big personality. You know, he obviously is going to want to play, but I think he's had to find out that if he's, you know, not playing well or just the fact that there's, you know, Bour and Ohtani on that roster that, the at-bats are going to be hard to come by. But, you know, the one thing he's done well in recent years, he's still done well with runners on base, that kind of stuff. So maybe some of those situations that are bigger, he comes up a little bit bigger. But it just seems the overall numbers are so down, you know, in recent years. So it's hard to imagine he's going to be too much better. But you never know. Because he's a future Hall of Famer. Crazier things have happened. But he just did turn 39 years old. So I do think you're right. I think that Auspice has got to kind of figure out how to kind of be able to balance that lineup. And at the same time, I do think Ohtani is going to have some of those days where he's going to be off because kind of from what Billy Epler was saying, on days when Ohtani maybe has a milestone for, you know, kind of his pitching rehab, let's say, you know, that day he moves back from, you know, 90 feet to 150 feet to throw. Maybe that day that he kind of makes that big jump, he might not actually play in a game as a DH because of the throwing stuff and the concerns of re-injuring himself. So there is going to be opportunities here for Pujols to get some at-bats, but a lot probably fewer than he had in the past. You're right. I definitely think that Auspice had to find a way to kind of keep everybody happy, especially Albert.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about Shohei Ohtani, but it's a fact that he will not be ready for opening day. Of course, you know my opinions on this. I think that this is a bad idea to have somebody recovering from Tommy John to still be a hitter. But I guess that's going to be one of the – well, that's going to be the biggest thing to keep our eye on is just exactly how – I mean, I guess my question is how are they even going to be able to figure this out? Like, okay, you are definitely ready to hit at full force – based on what? Like, what are they going to be basing this on? And, I'm not putting out this, don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have any idea how they're going to be able to figure this out?
It's a good question. I think the big thing is going to be kind of right now, it's just a progression. You know, I think at this point, Ohtani still hasn't swung a bat. It sounds like he's probably going to start swinging a bat here in the next 2 weeks or so. And then from there, you kind of continue to progress from, you know, swinging a bat, dry swings to, you know, flips to, you know, hitting off a tee. Before the flips, and then you got, you know, kind of back practice, and then you got live EP. So I think once he kind of gets through all those steps, but at the same time, like you said, it's complicated because he's also going to be kind of throwing on the side too and building up his arm to pitch next year in 2020. So they are going to be cautious. So like I said, they are going to be able to have those days where he maybe makes that next step as a pitcher. They'll probably back him off as a DH that day or just in terms of hitting. So I think that they'll probably be ready to hit, I think, sometime early in the season. But like it's just going to be interesting to see how much he's going to be able to, is he going to be able to go every day? I doubt it. I think at this point, it sounds like he's going to DH a few times a week. You know, I think he's going to be the primary DH, but there are going to be some days where he's going to be not DHing because he's going to be throwing on the side. So it is kind of uncharted territory. No one's ever really kind of done this in a sense because in the past, we've seen guys, you know, come back from Tommy John's position player, and it's not too complicated usually, but they're also not pitching too as well. So yeah, it's going to be I think it's going to be one of those things where we kind of go week by week and kind of just see how the progression goes. I'm sure the doctors and the trainers have it all laid out for, you know, exactly what he does this day or this week and then kind of go as they kind of go. But yeah, it's going to be really hard to really predict at this point how it's going to work out. I think that I can't imagine hitting is going to cause too much of a setback though, in terms of injury. I think it's just a different mechanic than throwing, but yeah, it's definitely going to be the thing to watch for the Angels this year for sure, because, you know, he's probably their second best hitter behind Trout. So they definitely want him in there. But as we talked about too, he's also probably their best pitcher too. So they got to be really cautious with him and make sure that they don't jeopardize anything this year just for the sake of trying to win and hurt their future.
Yeah. And so, especially since this is not the year that they're going to be able to contend for the division. They have to know that. But anyway, okay, moving on. Let's talk about the best player on the planet, as we like to refer to him. So every week we like to spotlight a player for fans to keep their eye on. And we always try to dig through and find a guy who's coming to camp with some interesting story or rehabbing from an injury or looking for a bounce back season. And I'm like, hey, let's talk about Mike Trout. Dude, we never talk about him because we just take him for granted for being awesome. But we'd like to see Mike Trout get to a postseason and perform well there and help his team win some games. So I don't know. What are your general thoughts about Mike Trout? Let's start there.
Well, he is the best player on the planet. That is definitely true. It's pretty amazing what he's able to do as a player. And he's so consistently good, too. And if anything, he actually almost gets better every year. It's pretty insane to see, just looking at his numbers and what he does offensively with the power and the speed and ability to get on base. He really is just an incredible player. And one of the things I looked at this week was a fun story we had in MLB.com about how, you know, usually Trout, which is pretty amazing, he usually gets to around, you know, 6-10 WAR every year, wins above replacement, you know, kind of the advanced stat here. And if he only even just put up 2 wins above replacement this year, he'd pass a name you know very well in Craig Biggio for career WAR. He'd pass Chase Utley Some other fun names, if he gets to three, he bats guys like Duke Snider and Don Drysdale. You know, even the amazing thing, too, is if he goes up to six WAR this year, he'd pass, you know, Manny Ramirez's career WAR, Edgar Martinez's, Kenny Lofton, Ivan Rodriguez. And really, if he had the year like he did last year and gets up to nine WAR, he'd pass guys like Derek Jeter and Larry Walker, Jim Thome's entire career already. So it just shows you, too, his defense is a big part of his game, too, in center field. He's really become a better center fielder, too, especially last year compared to the year before. So really, he just does it all. And any weakness he has, he seems to cover it up. You know, there was that one year where I think he led the league in strikeouts. All of a sudden now, he's striking out just about as much as he's walking. I mean, I think he's pretty much one-to-one. I think, you know, last year he struck out only two more times than he walked. The year before that, he actually walked, I think, four more times than he struck out. So his contact skills are incredible. And he puts the ball in play, hits the ball so hard. And then with the speed, he can take extra bases. So you are right. We take him for granted. I think we've talked about a lot of other people. But I think at the same time, the reason why I take him for granted is because you kind of know what you're going to get from him. We know that Trout, as long as he's healthy, is going to be an MVP candidate. There's no really ifs with him. So much of this roster, you look at, you know, can, you know, guys like Matt Harvey bounce back? Can, you know, Trevor Cahill keep it? There's so many ifs in this roster. Can Cody Allen, you know, bounce back as a closer and all these kind of things? But with Trout, there is no ifs. It's just, you know, can he stay healthy? And if he does, he'll have another incredible year. But like you said, it would be fun to see him in the postseason. It's only happened once, and it was a very quick exit against the Royals. And I believe he only had one hit. There was a home run in that series. So it would be good for baseball if he could get there. Like you said earlier, I do think that their most likely road to the postseason would be as a wild card team. And that's certainly a possibility, but the division would be very, very tough as it currently stands to overtake the Astros to win the division. But it would be good for baseball and fun to see Trout in the postseason. Absolutely.
So let's conclude our conversation just touching on the fact that this will be your first spring training as the Angels beat writer. You cover the Twins for many years. And to me, looking at this from kind of experience, is that you are going to be very happy with the travel situation during spring training. Because in Florida, you drive a lot. You once games start, road games are, you know, sometimes 2 hours. You might drive 5 hours in a day back and forth. In Arizona, everything is just right there. Is that what you're looking forward to most? Or is there something else that you might, you know, kind of be thinking about as you're getting ready to head out?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely most looking forward to the fact that the drive is going to be a lot easier. The Twins train in Fort Myers, which is down in the south part of the state. So other than the Red Sox, not too many teams are very close to the Twins. So a lot of times you'd have those games where, you know, you drive 2 hours to a stadium and then cover the game and then drive 2 hours back. So you spend, you know, 4 hours in your car in beautiful Florida, which could be a little bit much. Whereas it'd be nice sitting here in Arizona. Tempe is pretty local, kind of centrally located, easy to get to all the other ballparks. And it's been a long time. I haven't been to Arizona spring training since, I believe, 2011. I helped out with MLB.com for a few weeks. So it'll be fun to kind of go back and see some of these stadiums and different teams and kind of how it all works in Arizona. And I'm very well versed with Florida spring training, but it'll be different. I think too, you know, as a beat writer, you always want to try out different restaurants too, and all that kind of take in what Arizona has to offer. So, you know, I'll miss the beaches in Florida for sure, but at the same time, you know, with spring training, you don't get too much time to get to the beach anyway. It's definitely, you know, kind of a grind every day going to the ballpark. So I'm looking forward to getting to know all the players too. That's kind of the big difference for me was being on the Twins beat for, you know, 8 seasons was that, you know, you got to know everybody on the roster. Of course, there'll be a couple new faces every year, but for the most part, you know, all the core guys, you know, all the minor leaguers, whereas with the Angels, I don't really know really any of the players yet at all, personally, at least. So it'll be fun to kind of get to know them. And then same with Brad Ausmus as well. I'm sure I'll get to know Brad Ausmus very well with, you know, spring training, talking to him before and after every game. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to kind of the whole thing and a fresh start and a new team to cover. It's going to be very, very exciting. And I'm definitely happy about the shorter drives, but also just kind of meet these players and then definitely get started really on this beat officially here in spring training.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how close these teams are. My first spring training there after 15 seasons, 15 spring trainings in Kissimmee, Florida, I interviewed two managers with two different teams at two different ballparks before 11 o'clock in the morning. It was like This is the greatest day I've ever had at spring training. So good for you. Well, Rhett, enjoy the whole process. And thanks to everybody for listening to MLB Extras, the Los Angeles Angels edition. And we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.